Hey, welcome to Live from Seattle. We're so glad that you're with us, and we're glad to welcome Senator Curtis King. He represents the 14th Legislative District, which is just an incredible part of our state here, parts of Yakima, White Salmon, Stevenson, Goldendale, Roosevelt, some great areas in our wonderful state of Washington. He's the ranking Republican on both the Senate Labor, Commerce, and Tribal Affairs Committee and the Senate Transportation Committee. And Senator, we want to welcome you to the program today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure is mine, sir. Look forward to the conversation. So,
how was your Thanksgiving, by the way? Did you have a pleasant Thanksgiving?
We had a kind of a modified Thanksgiving since one daughter that lives on the west side, she and her son got sick, and my son-in-law had to take care of him, so they weren't able to make it, but Thanksgiving as a whole, we spent it with the other daughter, and it was just just a little less fun and excitement than we normally would have, but it was still good. So yeah. Hope yours was the same. So
yes, it was. Thank you. And I know we wanted to talk to you about this Power Washington Energy Plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first step in taking a reasonable approach when it comes to energy, and would love to just get your insights on this and tell our listeners what this is all about.
Well, as we've listened to the mandates and the goals that have been put forth, things like all electric cars by 2035 and all no carbon emissions by 2050, and then that the 2035, was somewhat pushed, or at least presented as, well, really it should be 2030. Along with a lot of the other mandates, things like, well, let's get rid of natural gas, let's get rid of four Snake River dams. We're going, well, there's no plan here. There's no rational, reasonable plan that's going to give us a reliable power grid or a reliable energy grid. And when you look around the country and you look at the problems that they've had in Texas when they had a huge freeze down there, part of the problem was they couldn't pump the natural gas that most of the buildings were being heated by and homes were being heated by, because they had converted all of the pumps to electricity and they weren't able to generate the electricity that was needed, and therefore they couldn't pump the natural gas. You look at California, and this summer California had a heat wave, and they were struggling to meet the energy demands that they had because of that heat wave. And what was the first thing they said? They told every electric car driver, don't charge your vehicle until after Labor Day. There's less than 2% of the cars in California that are all electric. It might be 3 now, but the last time I looked, it was less than 2%. So if you have to do that when there's only 2% of the cars or 3% of the cars are all electric, what are you going to do when it's 30% or 40%? You're going to have to tell every one of those people, don't charge your car every time there's some kind of an energy crisis. And this wasn't even a crisis, in my opinion. So as we looked at all of those factors and we looked at where we were headed in the state of Washington, this is what we were headed to. Everything was going to be electrified. We want to get rid of natural gas. We want to get rid of dams that supply 8% of the energy, of the electrical energy to our state, 8% of it. And then, it didn't seem reasonable to us. So we tried to come up with a reasonable approach. An example would be, instead of an all EV, why not a hybrid? And if you live in a city, 98% of the time, a hybrid will only run on the electrical part of that car, because you don't travel that many miles in a given day. And so you accomplish a lot of the same things you're trying to accomplish. You just don't carry it to the extremes. As I was just talking with a lobbyist who was looking at an EV, and for him to drive from Seattle to Vancouver and back, he would have to stop and charge his car. When he drove from Seattle to Spokane and back, he would have to stop and, you know, and it's like, it's a inconvenience at best, but you don't know where, you don't know how long it's going to take you. And even when there are chargers available, a lot of times they're not working. And so it creates all of these challenges for us, and we think there's a better way to look at it. There's better ways that can move our climate, if we have climate challenges, that does move us forward by looking at a holistic approach, not just picking on natural gas and EVs and our dams, but looking at how do we increase the sequestration of carbon, in other words, the absorption of carbon by our forests. And speaking of forests, when you look at the number of forest fires that we had, and Seattle got the privilege of smelling smoke this summer for several days because of our catastrophic forest fires that we have, it's because we're not maintaining those forests. We need to have forests that are maintained, that are workable forests, where you harvest the trees and then you replant, because the trees reach a point of saturation where they stop absorbing as much carbon when they get older and older and older. So you need to be able to harvest that. It also gives you a product that has captured that that can be used in building when you use that lumber. We need to look at plants like hemp and bamboo, and even cucumber plants absorb a lot of carbon when they are growing. And we got to look at these things. We got to look at hydrogen in lieu of electrical.
Walk us through this plan, the Power Washington plan that you're proposing. Walk us through this.
We're looking at one as an example. We're looking at using hybrids and incentivizing people to buy hybrids rather than to buy an all electric. Because hybrids are easier to run. They don't have the same huge battery and the weight and all of that, but they still move us forward on the power grid and the carbon. They're easier to charge, all those things. So,
what were your thoughts when Governor Inslee came out and declared that the state's going to get rid of all gasoline cars over the next... What was it, by what year?
2035 is when he said they will not be registering new electric, non-electric cars or gas-powered cars in the state. What is so sacred about 2035? I mean, where did that number come from? It's just a number that it picked. You know? And it's like we set these goals and we say, oh, we got to do this, and then. Nobody's really thought about what is the impact of a mandate like that. What is the impact? And it's a change in people's ways of life when you have an electric car, and that's what you have to depend on. But beyond that, as we started to have more and more people buy electric cars, we're finding out that in cold climates, you got to keep the battery heated. The example being, there's all electric buses up in Wenatchee for their transit system. They found out as soon as they had them over the winter that they had to put them in a heated facility because the batteries got too cold and they couldn't get them started. We find out that cold weather reduces the life of a battery. Hot weather reduces the life of the battery. A variety of these things. The seawater got on electric cars down in Florida when they had their hurricane or whatever it was, and after a few days, some of them just spontaneously started on fire. I mean, we're finding out all of these things about electric cars that we should have known before a mandate like that was ever made. The other problem when they want to talk about electric cars, solar panels, and windmills, wind farms, is what are we going to do with those huge blades when because they have a life. They don't last forever. They last maybe 20 years at best. What are you going to do? How are you going to process those when you have to replace them? What are you going to do with all of the solar panels? Because they have a life as well. They have a life expectancy, and I believe it's somewhere between 15 and 20 years. What are we going to do with all of those? I mean, there's millions of them. And then what are you going to do if we have, I believe, around 8 million vehicles in this state? If 5 million of them are electric cars and we have to replace their batteries, what are we going to do with 5 million batteries with all of the elements that are in them and not impact our Earth, which is what this is all about? I mean, we don't have a plan. And that's what we try to move forward here by looking at all of the elements of a power plan in Washington State, which includes hydro and putting generators on canals where it makes sense to put a generator so that we can generate electricity. It looks at developing hydrogen so that we can use hydrogen because it makes more sense to have a semi running on hydrogen than it does on electric, again, because of the weight and all of that, trying to make sure that whatever we do for a power system, it's affordable so that we're not putting an undue burden on our citizens.
Just a variety of those kinds of things. Yeah, when I look at what's happening in this conversation around climate today and those who are, the most upfront about it and really speaking out, it's interesting because I'm not a scientist. And I look at it from a layman's perspective, but from a layman's perspective and just kind of a common sense, logical perspective, the conversation is, hey, this planet is essentially going to implode and will be uninhabitable, right? I mean, we're on that. I've heard many politicians and climate scientists, talk about it in apocalyptic language.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
And now, for me, if I knew something, let's just take my own body. If I knew something in my own body was going to, it was taking me down, and I would go to every length to make sure that that wasn't the case. Right. Mm-hmm, I mean, I wouldn't feed my body certain things and so on and so forth. Right.
Sure,
I mean,
you're going to
go to whatever length, if you're dying, you're going to go to great lengths. But what I see though is not that. Right. I mean, I hear the apocalyptic language, but then when I, in fact, the Seattle Times, they just wrote an article. It was just a few days ago about how this it basically featured retired couples who and they featured a couple in their 80s who were not, they were going to move to San Diego and retire there, but because of climate justice and rising sea levels, they wanted to move to middle America, to a place. Now, if that's what you believe, great. Right. You're putting it into action where,
right.
Cause most of the, politicians and climate scientists that I hear, I mean, they're living, on the coasts, right. They're, living right on the ocean front, even though they're talking about rising sea levels, they're living in their nice ocean front homes.
That's right.
And without a care in the world. And similarly, I mean, you think about our governor who wants to, end gasoline powered cars here in 2035, while at this very same time, he's trying to push through a massive new airport project down in South King County to add additional airport capacity for our region. And we know that airplane emissions far expand automobile emissions. And yet, so we're going to expand that by 200%. I mean, there's just things that don't, again, it goes back to if I knew I was, if this planet was truly going to collapse and die, you probably wouldn't do a lot of the things you're doing then. Am I off base on this?
No, you're not. I mean, and you're exactly right in my opinion. And it is, it's just that it's, we hear these things and they're happening. But the point I would make about the state of Washington is we are, as a state, we are less than 0.2% of the emissions in the world. Now, just think about that. We are less than 0.2% of the emissions in the world. So now, we're going to do all of these things. We're going to go all electric. We're going to eliminate natural gas unless it's renewable, not natural gas. I mean, we're going to go to all these extremes. And yet countries like China and India, China is like 42% of the emissions in the world. So until you can do something with those countries that are the big emitters, you know, it doesn't do us any good because the air doesn't stay, you know, right above Washington. I mean, you know, we can do all things and we should do some of these things, but you don't have to go to the extremes that I believe these mandates and these goals that we have, and we may have even put in statute that we're going to not register non or gas-powered cars after 2035. I mean, it's just an extreme that is not going to, I don't believe we'll ever get there, and it's not going to do what they think it's going to do. It, you know, we passed bills that had low carbon fuel standards. We passed a bill that is called cap and trade. Both of those are supposed to be they're going to be great for the environment. But when you look at what they do and how they do it, my opinion is they do very little for the environment. They just make it more costly to drive a gas-powered car. And that's half of what they want. I mean, California's tried low carbon fuel standards. They can't make it work. It's raised the price of gas down there above $6 a gallon. You look at cap and trade, and all you're doing is saying, well, these people have they're producing less carbon, therefore they're going to get credit, and these people over here can't reduce the new goal that we just gave them to be back to 1990 by a certain time. So they're going to have to buy the credits that those companies have, but they're still not going to reduce their carbon. They just have to pay more money. It doesn't do the things that they think it's going to do.
We're talking to State Senator Curtis King. We got to go to a quick commercial. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Live from Seattle. Welcome back to Live from Seattle. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks to State Senator Curtis King for joining us today. We're talking about the GOP Power Washington plan, and we only got through just a short bit of that.
We did. I apologize.
Off on a little rabbit trail there. That was my fault. But we'd love to hear a little more about the plan. I know this is something that is very meaningful to you.
Well, we spent from when we got out of session in 2022 until yesterday when we had our press conference. And again, we're not trying to make this political. We're trying to come up with rational, reasonable things that we can do as the citizens of this state that are going to address some of the climate challenges that we have, but do it in a way that isn't going to bankrupt half the people of this state. My humble opinion is we are not ever going to get to zero by 2050, but we can do things that move us in a large way in that direction. And I don't have a problem in doing that. But we can't do it at the expense of the cost to our citizens and their quality and their way of life.
Now, what are some other parts of this plan that you're excited about?
Well, the one that I really like is back to the sequestration and trying to control our forest fires. You know, I know I live in Yakima, and I know last year We had weeks, if not months, where we had smoke in our belly, and it was fairly extensive. This year, the winds were such that the smoke drifted into Seattle and the Seattle area, and they didn't like it. You know, they wanted us to keep all of our smoke over in eastern Washington. But again, it shows what the currents of the winds will do. But we can help reduce that huge carbon emission that is presented by these forest fires by making our forests a working forest. We have to maintain the underbrush. We need to harvest the trees when they're at an age where it makes sense to harvest them and make lumber and other wood products out of them and use them in our construction of our homes and buildings, and then replant, because as those plants grow, those trees grow and get bigger, they absorb more carbon than an old plant. So you got to make it working, and if you take care of the underbrush, which can be done. We've had community forests down in the Klickitat area that did a great job of that. And if there is a fire, you have minimalized the effect of that fire. Therefore, you've minimalized the carbon that's put into the air. It's looking at all of these factors that affect us, not just one or two or three. So,
What about shoring up the state's electric grid? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we have to do that. I mean, I think we have to have the capability of using natural gas, electric, hydroelectric, wind and solar to, we got to use them. We have to have hydro, maybe I said that. We have to look at using hydrogen. We have to have all of these elements available to us, or we're going to end up like California, where they're having brownouts, and Texas, where they had, all of these people that were cold because they couldn't get natural gas to their furnaces. We need to make sure that does not happen in the state of Washington. There's absolutely no reason, with the abundance of the energy possibilities that we have in this state, that we should ever allow ourselves to get there. And we can do it and still keep our carbon emissions and our other emissions at a level that are conducive to a good life in this state.
How do we keep costs low? It seems like every year, we get notifications up, a 10% rate increase this year. It just seems like it just keeps going up and up.
Well, an example is the gas, the price of gas. I mean, it has dropped now, but after the first of the year, we are going to implement low carbon fuel standards and cap and trade. And as I think I said at the beginning, that those probably should raise the price of gas about 80 cents a gallon. And again, I don't believe that either one of those are going to do much to improve our environment. That's the whole reason they said they were passed. I think it's just a reason to say, well, gas is bad, gas-powered cars are bad, therefore they should pay more to try and drive people to other sources, other types of fuel. And in this case, our governor and others have chosen electricity for all EVs. But those are the kinds of things that we need to control. We used to be that I think about 80% of our energy now comes from hydro, and hydro is the cheapest energy we can have. But what we do is we have mandated that our power companies have to have so much renewable. So they have to have wind and they have to have solar. Those are more expensive than hydro, even though we could live off the power of hydro. So what do? We're selling excess power to California. And what are we mainly selling to them? Our hydroelectricity, which is the cheapest energy we can produce, and our citizens get to pay for the benefit of having to have 25% of the utility's power come from wind and solar. More expensive electricity. those are the things that bother me, because our citizens have to pay a higher price than they normally would have to pay or should have to pay.
Senator, we appreciate you joining us on Live from Seattle today. Thanks so much for taking the time.
I appreciate the opportunity. So, yeah. Have any other questions? We can do this again. So,
We would love to. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much.
That's State Senator Curtis King joining us on Live from Seattle.